passage of Scripture that we're looking at this morning is one that chances are many of us know. It's one of those things, though, that we don't sometimes take at its full value. It's like, well, I know this. But because we live so often separated from it, it's challenging for us to get back there. This morning, my hope, my prayer is that by the grace of God, we can get back there. We're going to be looking at the Psalms. And by the way, we're continuing. I do note in your bulletins that we have our reading through the Psalms in a year. And I hope that you're participating in that because, again, the Psalms are in many ways the prayer book of the Bible. And they will help you pray and build you and encourage you in your prayers. On that note, let's pray again. Lord, we ask the blessing of your Spirit in this time together in your word, that your truth would leap from the pages and light up our hearts and give our minds the truth and wisdom that can only come from you. Father, may this be a precious time with you, Lord Jesus. May this be a time where we know you have sat beside us and directed us and blessed us. Lord, we long to be with you in your word. In your name we pray. Amen. It was on the evening of July 4th when I had a quiet conversation down in Wilmington with my daughter, and I told her, I'm really proud of you. You're a great mom. You've been making some really good choices recently. I know you've been trying to do the right thing. And I know that that hasn't been easy. And what she said in response caught me off guard. She said, actually, Dad, things have been a whole lot easier. It's like a weight is being lifted. I feel more free. And what she said got me thinking. You know, sometimes we make doing the right thing out to seem so hard, don't we? Oh, you have to do the right thing, and we get this serious face when we say it, right? But I wonder if it's really right to gauge it in that way. I don't think God sees it that way, this hard and weighty and burdensome thing. Well, it's true that sometimes doing the right thing can cost us. Think about the heavy toll that doing the wrong thing takes. I mean, haven't we experienced that? Don't we see that day after day? Some people like to say that virtue is its own reward. And I don't care for that saying much because, for one, it sounds so self-righteous. You know, it seems like only virtuous people say it. Or people who think they are. And it overlooks the fact that people sin because sin feels good. That's how all traps work. First the bait, and then the iron vice that you cannot get away from. This morning I wanted to talk about freedom, about joy that comes from doing the right thing. But even that sounds so preachy. To put it another way, what I really want to talk about is just being happy because of God. Because of having him in your life, because of living with him and for him, People who love Jesus and have a relationship with the Heavenly Father through Him should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Of course, that doesn't mean that we don't go through seasons of struggle and grief. And it doesn't mean that sometimes we don't have particular challenges. We may be wired a certain way. I get that. I mean, there have been times in my life where I have been medically depressed and where an antidepressant was helpful for me. So I'm acknowledging all of that and saying, okay, yes. But the truth of God speaks out in the middle of all of that, in the middle of the experience of the whole of life. And the truth of the Word of God tells us, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. The ESV translates it this way. If you've been around church for a while, you may have memorized this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And what I'd like to ask you this morning is a question that I really want to encourage you. It's just a simple question. And I should have given the sermon this title instead of Daring to Delight. I should have given the sermon this title, which is just this question. How do you delight? How do you delight? What is it, first of all, that you really delight in? Is it God or is it something else? And secondly, if it is God, how do you delight in Him? How do you do it? What is it that you do? What is it so that this is part of a practice in your life? How do you delight? I encourage you, write those words down. Take them with you. Ponder them. The Westminster Catechism pointed out that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So how do you do that? How do you enjoy Him? I also got to spend some time with my 2-year-old grandson this 4th of July, and I'm often busy doing things, helping my daughter around the house because she's a single mom. And we only have so much time while they're there, and there are things that, you know, need dad's attention, and so I'm busy going here to there. I don't like that anyhow, but I kind of take it up a notch when I'm down there. And my grandson has a habit of saying to me, sit, Papa, sit. And then sometimes he'll add a word, sit, Papa, sit. Play. Or he'll hand me a book and say, sit, Papa, sit, read. Now, what do you think I do when he does that? Go away, kid, you bother me. Sorry, kid, not right now. No, of course not. I cherish those moments. Wouldn't you? I mean, sure, it means I have to give up whatever important thing I was busy with. But what's really important, right? Delighting ourselves in the Lord is a lot like that, I think. God is never too busy for us. It's the other way around, right? I mean, that's how it so often works out. But remember when Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son, he was actually talking about God and our relationship with Him. He wasn't telling an actual story about an actual person. This was a parable that is meant to apply to the whole world. And what he's doing in the story is, here it is. He's describing our relationship with God and what it means to come home to Him, or what it means, as the elder brother did, to sort of trust in his own righteousness and miss the party. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, here it is, Luke 15:20, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. I think that's my favorite verse in the entire Bible. Because it shows us so much about the God that we worship. First of all, look at those words. While he was a long way off. If that's you this morning, take a look at that and take that to heart. And then look at the father and what he does. His father saw him. Why did he see him while he was a long way off? Because he was looking for him. And was filled with disgust? No, he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Isn't this who Jesus is? Jesus is God running to us, seeing us when we're a long way off, throwing his arms around us. Jesus is heaven's kiss, welcoming us home if we will have it. If we will have him. I mean, I just love the way that Jesus describes the Father, a running Father who's just waiting for us to take a step in his direction. So how about it? You might not feel that you're very good at this kind of thing, but how many words do you need? Sit, Papa. Sit. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Theologians sometimes say that what happens when we delight ourselves in the Lord is that he increasingly becomes the desire of our hearts. And that's true. That is so true. I don't want to discount that in any way, but in a way that sounds so otherworldly that it's practically unreachable. I mean, the point is that as we delight ourselves in God right where we are, that he will come to us right where we are, and we don't need to limit the ways that he will give us the desires of our heart. It's not only about spiritual things. Now, some twist these verses and say, oh, well, you know, this means that, you know, if I delight myself in the Lord, I should be driving a fancy car. That's materialism. You know, that's not worshiping God. So, but if we give ourselves to him and delight ourselves in him, he knows our needs. And he will meet us in beautiful places that I think we don't anticipate. But we serve a creative God. So why try to limit that, either putting it in a box theologically or practically speaking? Just sit, Papa. Sit. You know, Psalm 37 is a very down-to-earth psalm, and it begins with, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. If you read through the whole psalm, that's really the context. It's like, man, here I am, I'm somebody who believes in God in this tough world. That's the context. You know, this isn't simply, oh, well, you know, delight yourself in the Lord. I mean, it's literally, no, this is a hard world. This is a place where bad things happen. And in the middle of that, The psalmist says, oh, delight, delight. If you really want to be happy, if you really want to have joy and peace, give yourself up to God. And if this was true for David under the old covenant, how much more is it true for us who have received God's grace through Jesus? G.K. Chesterton once put in his great book, Orthodoxy, joy is the gigantic secret of the Christian. And by that, he meant that joy is really at the heart of who we are and who we are meant to be. I think some kind of misinterpret that and think it means that Christians are to be baptized in lemon juice. I mean, we've all known those kind, right? Maybe we've been those kind at one point or another. Oh, God, give us grace not to be. We were meant to delight in the Lord and just love Him and love others. But how do you start? How do you delight in Him if you've never done it before, or if you've gotten so far away that you don't know if you can ever get back? Three things briefly I'd like to suggest. First is make up your mind to do it. Because if you'll notice, the way this is worded, delight yourself in the Lord, right? It's a command. It's in the imperative. It's not simply saying, oh, it's something you feel. We tend to look at it that way. No, it's not something you feel. It's something you do. And then as you do that, then God meets you further down the road in that process. It may take a conscientious decision several times a day to break away from your old habits and norms, but the point is, it is so worth it. The second point is to ask for God's help. Know that He wants you to do this even more than you want to ask. This is the running Father, remember? He longs for us to be deeply satisfied in Him. I mean, if you think of the world around us and all of the pleasures that it's filled with in different ways, God wants to give us so much more. And He's the inventor of every pleasure that is not twisted by the evil one. C.S. Lewis writes that the evil one can only take what God has done, what God has made good, and sort of twist it. But every pleasure that we know comes from God. And we need to understand that when we think about God. He really is a good, good Father who loves us and wants us to enter into His pleasure and your joy and His joy. He longs for us to be deeply satisfied in Him. It's really true. And if you really want to make a change in your life in this way, I encourage you, commit to it. You know, dare to delight for 30 days. I'm going to try this every day for the next 30 days. We might even pick a prayer partner and say, let's hold each other accountable in this, because I've been stuck in a negative rut and I want to get out of it. So let's work together on this. How are you delighting in God? This is what I'm doing. You know, have a partner or a couple of people and work together. And then thirdly, just do it. Just do it. Jump in right where you are. Don't wait to feel again a certain way. Just jump in. I don't want to be too specific on details here. Let Him lead you, because He will show you in ways that you especially need that are unique to who you are. Now, it will always involve taking His word to heart and talking to Him and just being with Him, whatever you are doing through the day. But you can also delight in Him without saying anything, right? Just let your heart be drawn to Him again and again. Where is it that God meets you? Is it in fishing? Is it in nature? Is it in music? Is it in listening to music or singing to Him? Is it in the quiet of the evening or the cool of the morning? Wherever it is, make a conscientious effort. Go there. Go there. Seek him there. Again and again. That's what David is talking about when he says, commit everything you do to the Lord. That's in the context of delighting in him. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him. Trust him. And he will help you. Now, you may initially get some pushback as you do this because the devil doesn't want you to do it. And that's true. But keep going. Keep going. The beautiful thing about Jesus is that he wants to be with us. And think about what that means, that the eternal God of the universe is so good and he loves us so much that he wants to be connected to us. He wants us to love him and worship him, and he wants to be the most important part of our lives, and he has promised to reward us when we go there. That's why his word says he rewards those who sincerely seek him. You may feel like the most unworthy person on the face of the earth. You may feel like I'm so far away, but I would ask you, how far can God see? Jesus loves you and wants you to be with him, and he will be with you. He will help you if you step in his direction. One story to wrap up. Last Tuesday on the 4th of July, we were with our daughter in the four-wheel drive access area of Carolina Beach, and that's an interesting place to be on the 4th of July. We were parked right beside a large group. I think if you looked up "good old boy" in the dictionary, maybe you might see a definition right there. But a large group, and a girl from the group came over to say hi to my Labrador Retriever puppy Max, and she, sweet girl, she looked like she had had a rough life. Especially from the homemade tattoo on her thigh right here that said scum, and then it said an expletive that was demeaning to her. And after she had spent some time with Max, I walked away and talked to Stephanie and told her about the tattoo. And Stephanie said, why would she do that? And you could see she just had compassion for her. And about an hour later, I was looking over at the group, and I saw a guy in the same group, and I'll tell you, he was tall and thin, and he had wavy brown, long brown hair and a beard. I gotta tell you, I mean, he looked a lot, I mean a lot, like pictures you see of Jesus. And he had this guitar. I turned to my daughter and I said, Do you see that? Do you see that? Do you see that? That's just the kind of person Jesus would hang out with. That's the beautiful thing about him. Well, we came home that night, but the next day, Stephanie went back to the beach after work, and she sent me a text message, and the text message said, I just saw the girl with the scum tattoo and Jesus again. They just walked up to me and sang a song to me. And I responded, I think maybe God is trying to tell you something. I know. Maybe it wasn't really Jesus. But it would be just like him, wouldn't it? Think of the people he hung out with and the heat he took for it. No matter how far away you've been, go to where you have met him before. And he will show up. Turn from our sin and delight ourselves in him, and he will sing to our souls. And we will dance for the sheer joy of it. May we pray. How do you do it? How do you delight in him? You might say, oh gosh, I trip over myself, I'm rusty, it doesn't matter. Sit, Papa, sit. Just a couple words, Lord, please. I want to love you. I want to delight in you. Keep taking those steps. Tell him you love him. Look for him in his word. Wait for him. Lord, we praise you that there is nothing better than knowing you. We praise you that you made us for yourself, and that in knowing you, we know the deepest joy imaginable. This morning, as we've looked at these things, I'd be remiss if I didn't give an invitation to say, just come to him. If you've never come to him before, he's speaking to you in this moment. And he's saying, it doesn't matter how far away you've been. I love you. And he just wants us to be real with him, to say, yes, yes, Lord, I come to you, and I'm sorry, I know I've messed up. And I believe you died for me on the cross, for the sins of the whole world, and I receive what you did right now. Come into my heart, come into my soul, forgive me, and help me to love you and know you. And even if we've known him and been far away ourselves, he will pull us close. Just come. He is faithful. We are not. He is. Lord, we love you. And we ask that you would give us grace to love you more. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.